If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit one on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star two. Again, please press star one to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal. We will now take the first question from Lucie Carrier of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. A couple of questions from my side. First of all, on robotics, I understand you're not necessarily seeing any order pickup for the second half of the year. So I was wondering, how do you see, from a revenue perspective, the second half and also 2014, taking into account the 2013 orders level and also the potential yen depreciation impact that you were just mentioning earlier? My second question is regarding the repayment of your high-yield bond. You were mentioning you had a one-off expense this quarter. I mean, is the one-off related to the repayment just for this quarter, or should we be seeing some other impacts for the remaining of the year? And then finally, on the gross margin, I mean, you improved gross margin at both divisions. I was just wondering what were the drivers for that performance and how much you think you can create more upside on that front. Thank you.
Let me start with the first question on the revenue. You know, we see is that robotics is earlier cyclical part of KUKA, and systems is later cyclical part. We see that robotics is on a very stable development. We have 180 million of revenue, and we see that the second half of the year, you know, we see that it's comparable to the first half of the year, so we don't see any big impact for robotics for the second half of the year. Long term, we have clearly a couple of things which we have to take into consideration, which are challenges, but we also have a big opportunity. Clearly, the yen is one thing which we watch out. There's no impact for 2013. We see that our competition is slightly more aggressive. However, we don't see it today in our numbers. We have to watch out and we have to see what is the potential impact in the future. But we clearly see that the growth potential of robotics in China is unchanged. And also, if you sometimes listen to clouds in the development of the Chinese market, we do see an unchanged demand of robots in China, and we see that the Chinese development is also will help us in the future to further growth. And therefore, overall, I'm bullish on the robotics business. We clearly see some volatility in Europe. We have to work on our position in the U.S., but we have a very strong position in China. We have 20% market share in China. Therefore, the Chinese growth will help us in having a robust development on the robotic side.
Then coming back to your high-yield bond question, we are net debt-free, and we have quite a significant amount of cash at our bank account. And now the question is how, and we have the high-yield bond with a high coupon of 8.75. Now the goal for us is to achieve lower interest cost level as soon as possible. And we could wait for November 2014 to call the bond in full, but smarter is to buy back some high-yield bond, what we can get from the market to buy it back, and then we can make use of our money earlier and have a nice return on that one. And the effect in quarter two was more or less 4 million additional interest expense because of buying back high yield and of issuing the convertible in February. That means we bought it back with a market value higher than the nominal value. And this 4 million, more than that, we will get back until November 2014, because we then don't have to pay the interest on the high yield we already bought back. Yeah, so it's a one-time effect in quarter two, and the positive counter effect, a higher one, you will see in the next year, over the next year in every quarter. And your second part of the question, do we want to buy more back? And yeah, we would like to do that. But it depends on the availability of high yield. Then your last question regarding the yen, the high gross margin. For sure, one of the reasons, and the yen, which role the yen plays with it, the gross margin is higher because of the higher part of GI and service. That was what Till mentioned already at the beginning. Compared to a year before, there is much more general industry with a higher gross profit in. And we bought, we had some procurements in yen, which in addition to that helped to lower the cost of sales. But the counter effect of hedging the yen is then in the other operating expenses. And that is one of the reasons why the gross profit is higher, but the EBIT margin is lower compared to a year before. Overall, the yen had a very neglectable influence in quarter two on our EBIT margin.
Okay, thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you. We will now take the next question from Sebastian Ubert of UBS. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. One question also regarding the yen and your nice competitors from Japan. Can you give us kind of a rough indication how much price pressure they are now trying to push through? We have seen some examples like with SGL Carbon where they have fully passed on up to 30% pricing pressure. I would rule out such a scenario for the robots market, but just in case, as they were losing market share, as you have said, not only in Europe but also in Asia-Pacific, in China, where you were growing or you were less declining revenues than those had, just to get a feeling of how severe the situation could become in 2014 maybe, do you see that margins could drop below 10% in the worst case in robots?
You know, I think it's a good question, and I think we are the other names that you mentioned, other companies. It's not the right comparison. So, you know, as other companies, which they have really, if they only sell carbon fiber and really materials, it's only driven by price. I think on our side, it's very important that we're selling solutions. We are selling production lines, and the robot is a part of a production line or part of a solution. Therefore, on our side, factors influencing the decision to buy a robot are clearly one is price, but then the innovation power, the technology, the technical experience, and the technical support, the service support, and then also the usability of the robot. And you know, it's the impact. We see that in some bigger contracts. Clearly, we see that the competition is getting tougher. We don't have today an indication of how big this price, I'll call it the reduction of price, could be. We see some. You know, it's not compared what you have seen maybe at other companies. I see it more in a single digit room as they increase. I think it's too early today to look at the margins long term. It will have an impact medium term. But I think it's too early to now give you guidance for 2014.
Okay, and then I've got one follow-up question also regarding your systems business. It has become quite about any potential solution that you might divest part of that. Is there any update for us on that topic?
I think it's very important that we never talk about any divestment. We talked about partners. We're looking up opportunities to grow both business. And that's what Peter and I are also mentioning. We're looking to organically as well as unorganically growing the business, thinking of partner opportunities. Some names were mentioned in the past. We are really, it's part of our strategic move to a direction to increase the GI stake. And we have discussions, nothing where we can give you an update of a acquisition short term. Really, all our efforts we are looking at is getting market share, acquiring technology, and also getting our GI stake higher. Today, clearly, being an automotive number one, we have to secure the position, but we see big growth potential in the GI piece, and therefore acquisitions are clearly in this area in particular, but no update today. But I think it's good to mention that the development in systems to today's margin is really a great development of this business, given that if you can see the margin development over the past 3, now 4 years, it's really great what the team has done here, and it also gives us more potential in looking at other companies.
Okay, many thanks.
Thank you. We will now take the next question from Christian Breitsprecher of Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning. It's Christian Breitsprecher from Macquarie. I have just two questions. One is, can you explain a little bit what's been going on in the tax rate for the quarter and what we should for the full year? The second question is regard to the order that was reported this morning. When are you going to put that into your order intake? That would be in the third quarter, or is that spread out?
Excuse me, you have quite a bad line. Could you repeat your questions, or maybe because we can't
okay. hear you. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah.
Okay, good. First question just was on the tax rate, what happened there in the second quarter and what we should pencil in for the full year, because it some increase in the tax rate in the second quarter. And then second question is with regard to the order that you reported this morning for the systems business, are you going to record that order intake in the second quarter, or is the whole amount spread out over a couple of quarters? Thanks.
Yeah, regarding tax rate, we have a lower absolute amount, but the rate increased, and the main reason is that we have some young foreign affiliates where we had negative results. But the corresponding deferred tax asset we did not capitalize. And hence the tax rate is rising. There we are conservative with our accounting policy.
Okay, is that something that we also should see for the full year and also to 2014, or is it just a temporary effect in the quarter or just a temporary effect this year and then it comes down next year again?
That's a good question. I would expect something around 38% for the full year.
Okay, thank you.
On the order side, it's a big order. We're proud to have gained this big order from a new customer, so not existing customer, new customer, which is giving us big trust, and it's an order for the next 2 to 3 years. Therefore, we will see the revenue out of this order in the coming quarters. In the coming 2 years.
Okay, but the order intake will be recorded in the third quarter. The order intake.
No, it's a frame contract, so not the whole order intake will be shown in the third quarter. It is like the Volkswagen, like the Daimler contract. It's a frame contract, and it will be called, and then it will be order intake.
Okay, I got it. Thanks.
Thank you. We will now take the next question from Tim Rokossa of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
We can't hear you, Tim.
I know you have already said that. Can you hear me?
Now it's much better.
Ah, okay. Much better, yeah. Sorry. I would like to come back to the Japanese competitors, please. I know you have already responded to this and you don't really see any immediate price pressure, but what is your reaction on this? Presumably it does come up in negotiations with your customers. So do you just sit down with your customers, convince them again how much better your product is and what sort of value you add, or are you really running an increased sales effort, or do you already give some discounts, or how should we picture this? And then secondly, on KTPO, how much is that currently contributing to your systems division? I know you don't want to give us any details, that's pretty clear, but the Jeep Wrangler is still developing quite nicely, so presumably it does have a very favorable impact, if you could just confirm that and how that looks year on year. And then a bit more long term, really, in 2015, you gave this target of 700 million GI sales and said at the same time with your full year results this year that you have a conservative estimate for automotive outstanding. Has this changed currently with the acquisition of Utica, and are you now more confident on that as well? Thank you.
Let me start on, and then we can maybe both answer some of the questions. I think on the Japanese competition, we have to at once clearly follow up the development of the yen in the next quarters and also next years. We have seen a devaluation of the yen over Christmas in the first quarter, which has, you know, clearly gives some advantage to our Japanese competition. But you have also taken into account that our Japanese competition is not only a Japanese company, they are also global companies. For example, Fanuc is very strong in the U.S. Yaskawa is much more Japanese oriented. So it's something where the effect, you should not count it one-on-one to whatever you do on the P&L or on the product side. What we are doing is clearly we have some purchasing we do from Japan, therefore we have some positive impact. We are really working with our customers on the product side, so to convince them on the technology side, on the service side. We also always differentiate not only by price, we differentiate by solution. So I think in automotive as well as much more in GI, it's convincing our customers about that KUKA can giving them the best solution and that we are much more customer-oriented and less standardized. So I think that's something where really they have now Japan with the devaluation, they have some benefit, some advantage, and we have to fight even harder for customers. really, we work on the efficiency side, we work on pushing sales, and we also, working on new products. And I think, therefore, it's a mix of different measures to keep the top line intact. And clearly, if prices are more aggressive, it could have an impact on the EBIT line. On KTBO, as you rightly mentioned, KTBO, the Jeep Wrangler is a great product. Every Jeep Wrangler you see on the street, you know we made some money on it, so it's good for us to see lots of Jeep Wranglers. It's a great contract. It's contributing good, but I think we don't give any details.
No. Yeah, it's developing good, and we don't see that it will change this year. But we don't want to comment on results of special entities.
it's long term, therefore you will benefit some more years on this. On the sales, the GI sales, automotive, you know, the new contract in coming from the U.S., it's a new customer, and I think comparable to other people who are very strong in automotive, we are positive on automotive globally. And we see that automotive we don't see any change today. What we see clearly is that it's regionally different. I think the automotive contract from the U.S. underlines that the U.S. market, we will see a stable, growing U.S. market for the next 2 to 3 years in automotive. U.S. automotive customers, OEMs, have invested a lot abroad over the last years. We now see more investments in the U.S. Therefore, U.S. market, we have a positive view for the next years. We also have a very positive view on the Asian markets. Our premium OEMs are investing in these regions. If we talk Americas, I talk U.S. and also America, so we see also benefit in proceed. But come back to Asia. So Asia also growing. We see sometimes some clouds in Asia, but the long-term growth potential in China is unchanged. In particular for robotic, because if you have increasing wages, you need robots. If you have increasing output, you need robots. So I think we are in a very good position to benefit from China. The European development, as I mentioned, in the robotic side, we had a 9% down in robotics in Europe compared with our competition, which was much, much bigger hit in Europe. Europe is a much more volatile and also regionally different play. So I think we have to be careful in the development in Europe in the second half of the year and also 14-15. But since we have a broad footprint globally, 30% US, 20% China, and 50% Europe, I think we can balance it out, and therefore also have see that automotive is changed, is unchanged, positive on a high level, and our big way to grow is clearly GI. We have the products I was telling you about, the Agilus. We have the lightweight. We have the KRC5 Arc, KRC5 1400 now for new markets, and therefore, you know, I'm positive mid to long term, and automotive is unchanged.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will now take the next question from Stefan Böhm of Commerzbank. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Just two quick questions, please. The first one is on the mix in robotics. Could you just share with us a sales split between automotive, general industry, and services that you had in the second quarter, and maybe also your projection for the full year? And the second one would be regarding your M&A strategy. I mean, you elaborated on the general strategy, but maybe you are also willing to share with us your financial criteria that you consider in your screening process. Thank you.
Yeah, if we talk about the mix between GI, service, and automotive, then in quarter two last year we had a 48% share of GI and service. Altogether, that means a 52 auto, and the part of GI and service was 58 this year in quarter two. So you see it was less auto than the year before. And for the second half of the year, it's difficult to estimate. It depends on when the orders of which customer will kick in, so difficult to give a reliable forecast. I would say it's a 50-50 tendency.
On the M&A side, I think most important is that we have our strategic direction in our head with clearly getting better market position. We are strong in Europe. We are leading in Europe. We have potential in China, Asia. We have potential in the U.S. So I think Utica is one example where we increased our market position. And I think further expansions or further acquisitions should be there to expand the market position. Number two is clearly, so in the markets where we want to lead. Second strategic goal is GI, new markets, expand the leverage of our robotics business in other markets and also in the integration part, something where we see clearly expansion of GI. New technologies, we are a technology company. You know, the robotic is a combination of mechatronic, of software, of IT, and clearly we have to be here innovative. We have to be leading edge, and therefore it's also we have to see where we can be better and where we can also pave the way for the next 5 to 10 years. And clearly, as mentioned, U.S. and Asia. Besides the strategic direction on the financials, clearly we have now potential to also buy bigger tickets, bigger assets. I think Utica is a good example of how we look at acquisitions. Utica was in a small double-digit number, and it is accretive from the first day on. And I think it's very important that we, you know, have an accretive deal on the earnings per share within a short time frame. That's something which is very important for us, that it's accretive for the shareholders, and that we, I think that is the most important criteria for us. And we have now room to have also bigger tickets to acquire, and it has to fit in our strategic goal and should be accretive within a short time frame.
Fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now take the next question from Jasko Terzic of DZ Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Some questions left on my side. First one is your competition. In Europe, you said that the markets were down, but you were less down than the markets overall. So could you be more precise regarding your big competitors if you win market share against them? And if so, could this also lead to a bit more pressure going forward? Secondly, on the dividend, you mentioned you could also use your savings to increase your dividend? Do you mean a special dividend or that you will sustainably increase your ratio in general? And finally, on your M&A targets, you mentioned bigger tickets. As I remember correctly, in Q1 it was above 100 million. So my question here is, could you also imagine to spend some 200 million in the systems division for GI?
Let me start with the visit number one with Europe. You know, the market in Europe, and the Chara statistic was the European market. The European market is, compared to US and Asia, weaker, and the whole market went down. We had some impact by minus 9%, but the competition went down much more, like 30-40%. I think Europe is a good example that is not only price, it's much more service and technology. And being in Europe, being number one in Europe and being number one in automotive, it's clearly our network, our service, our sales network, which is helping here, that we are very strong and that we are gaining market share. I think if you think about pricing power is clearly bigger, the bigger the contracts are. In Europe, we are also in GI very, very strong. So it's more our structure and our network which is helping that we in Europe are gaining market share and defend our big market share. On the dividend side, clearly there is no special dividend. I think we learned from special dividends in the past, so no special dividend. What we also mentioned in the EGM is that our plan or our goal is, if you look at 2014, we have purchased back or repurchased the whole high yield. We have 150 million of the convertible outstanding. Our impact on the interest line is 0.7, so you have at 1.5 to 2 million interest expense per year, which gives us high flexibility, and we have the 200 million for 8.7, so approximately 18 million. We have additional room to maneuver for further investment in R&D and potentially also for future dividend payout ratios. So we paid 20 cents per share, and we clearly gave some explanation that long term, if the equity ratio, if we have everything done on R&D, that we also think about a distribution of 25%. We gave some indication that's really where it goes to. It's important that the repurchase of the high yield gives us much more flexibility with respect to our business, but also with respect to potential dividend payment, which we have not decided yet, which only is a frame where we can be active in. On the M&A side, clearly with the increased convertible, we have higher flexibility. Flexibility, we could go for assets above 100 million, but clearly it's. I think the convertible gives us the flexibility. It also gives us clearly the room to repurchase the high yield, and we have a long-term financing below 1% of interest. And I think we wanted to get this flexibility to really get also quicker in the potential to find partners. We have acquisitions, as you know, in the logistics area and other areas, but these are normal discussions and are not in a stage where we can really give you further guidance here on on which targets we are looking at. Clearly, it's GI and its market position, and it must be earnings accretive after short term, as an example, as Utica.
Okay, maybe a follow-up on your competitors. Did your Japanese competitors lost market share in Europe?
You know, the Chara statistic only gives you an indication of the numbers which are really up and running, so you get sales numbers, but you don't get the market shares at this stage. We always get the market shares, for 12, we got them maybe in April, May of 2013. And so if you see the first quarter, the first half year, we don't get the market shares, and we cannot compare the market shares. But for me, it looks like that we gained market share in Europe. That is clearly if you do the math here and you see that the market is a little bit down and we are better than the competition. We should have gained market share in Europe. We are also strong in Asia. Asian markets also not easy for the first half of 2012, but also we gained market shares. And so I think we should be better in Europe and Asia, and that we have to look in the U.S. and in Japan. You know, Japan is a closed market where it's very much distributed between the Japanese competition. I think it's too early to look globally, but in Europe, I would imagine that we gained market share.
Very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. We will now take the next question from Peter Rothenaicher of Baader Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. One question regarding your advanced robotics business. Can you comment on this? How far you are proceeding? Where are you in the stage for the lightweight robot? And what are here your expectations regarding sales 2013-2014? Can you comment? Have you made further progress, particularly within MedTech for robotics? Regarding Utica, you mentioned this acquisition was earnings accretive from the first day. Is the margin of Utica even ahead of your systems group margin? And regarding the new big order, is the margin for this order, does it seem as favorable as the entire segment so far? Or do you have to pay some entry premium with regard to lower margins for the new customer?
Okay. Let me start. Advanced robotic. You know, I think it's important for KUKA to be at the automotive customers, number one, to increase the impact on the GI on the industry side, but also to think about the future development in areas like service and medical. All automation solutions are hybrid, so people have to work together. So if you have a solution on the automotive side, you need the people who run the body shop have to work together with our engineers. If you think about foundry, the expert in foundry, on at what point in time you have to get the iron out of the oven, you have to get the expert. Same as on the medical and the service side. So we are working on the advanced robotics beside the other areas on future potential of robots. This is part of our equity story. This is part of KUKA's understanding of themselves, because it's in the end it's the interaction between man and machine. The degree of automation in automotive in body and white is 90%. Degree in other areas is much lower, and we are looking at areas where we see potential for the future where the degree of automation is increasing. And therefore, in service, in elderly care, in MedTech, in these areas, we clearly see that automation has to increase. It's a question of time. Is it happening in 13, 14, or 15? That's something where we have an option here in our hands, besides the option in automotive or the business automotive and the business in GI. Here we are making progress on the product side. We get less loss of interest from our customers. And if you compare the big players in robotics and think about who has a medical footprint, we are clearly seen as the company with a medical footprint. In this business today, you know, it's double-digit number business. We don't disclose it in detail, but it has a huge potential. It's a long-term goal, but we are on the right track here. We have announced a big Siemens contract. We have Accuray with a CyberKnife, and we have Forte for positioning of patients. So, you know, we are on the right track here. What's medical, and I haven't seen anybody else on the robotic side who has done more in medical, so I think it's something where we see also part of the future, but clearly it's part of the future. Our goal is automotive one, GI growth, and also some potential in the service area. That comes also goes over to the lightweight robot. Lightweight robot, also here we talk about always the interaction between man and machine. You know that our industrial robots from 6 kilo Agilus to 1.3 ton Titan has to work in a safe environment behind a fence, and that if you want to be closer and want to have closer cooperation between man and machine, you have to take away the fence. Lots of press about how cooperating robots, and we have an industrial version which can really work in the in, on the top floor together with men on, in close cooperation, and there the lightweight is really a breakthrough, and we get lots of positive inflows and believe that the lightweight will be is a product that will change the behavior of man and machine and allows much more interaction, and therefore this is a great product, and we have the respective result from Daimler where we cooperate and also otherwise. The lightweight also helps us on the medical side, because on the medical side you have much closer cooperation between man and machine. You know, all the operation stuff, the robot has to be much closer, therefore we see that the lightweight will also be a further breakthrough on the medical side. Utica, yes, Utica deal. Utica has some more products. Utica was, we took over the projects, but we also took over some technologies. And given the mix of Utica, we have slightly higher margin than the systems business standalone. Therefore, it's systems business accretive. And the new customer, Utica is a great acquisition because we strengthened our position in the U.S. You know, in the U.S. today you have KUKA, and then you have Comau as the second biggest player. And the new contract was really a result of being number one in the market, and there was no one really else who could do a transaction like this or call a project like this. Therefore, I think the Utica acquisition was really the right piece to do to get this new customer. But there's no special treatment, no entry, whatever you mentioned.
Once again, regarding the lightweight robot, could you provide us with some figures? How many robots do you expect to sell 2013, 2014?
You know, we don't have any exact number on the lightweight. There we have a contract with Daimler, which we cannot disclose. So that is something where, you know, I think in the double-digit numbers should be, that is, I think, a fair assumption.
Double-digit million sales?
Double-digit numbers of robots.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now take the next question from Harald Remert of LBBW. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hello, gentlemen. Just two quick questions. The first one regarding your acquisition in Romania. Could you give us a bit more color about the size of the company, sales, staff, and what do you have to pay for the company? And the second question regarding your guidance, these two additional acquisitions, Utica and CMA, should increase your sales number, but you didn't increase your guidance. Does this mean the business as such won't get these 1.8 billion, or is it all only your conservative approach?
On the acquisition, the Romania acquisition is, you know, it's not top line driven. It is something where we have a better footprint on our low cost sourcing. It's a low single digit million number. And it's more, you know, we took over 80, 85, 90 people. And it's more like a workbench where we're getting engineering, manufacturing pieces out of Romania. It's not top line driven. It's just sourcing and supply chain driven. On the guidance, after the acquisition of Utica, we are even more confident for our guidance. And you know, I think the 1.8 and 6.5, we are confident to meet them for the full year. And Utica is clearly helping us and to be even more confident.
The low single digit million you named, this was the sales figure?
No, it was the acquisition price. You know, we're asking about the price. So, you know, it was not driven by top line. We acquired a workbench in Romania with 90 people helping in sourcing low-cost material, low-cost fabrication from Romania, and we acquired this company for a low single-digit million number.
So we are the only customer of this company?
You know, in the past, there were different different customers. Today we are, you know, we source them in.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We will now take the next question from Holger Schmidt of Equinet Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, gentlemen. I have a question on your Agilus robot. You mentioned that it is one of the most successful product launches. This year you expect 1,000 units. What is your target with regard to units and sales contribution for next year and the year beyond? Secondly, in the first half of 2013, you have raised your R&D by about 13%. Will this continue to be the case also next year, or will we see a kind of slowdown in R&D expenses already in 2014? And the other question would be on your capacity expansion in your facility in Augsburg. You can now go back to two shifts, or what kind of cost savings will this induce?
Let me start with the first question. Agilus is a good launch, very good. A good team approach here at KUKA side. We have already sold 500 the full year. Budget is 1,000. As explained in prior meetings, we do have a market share of 14 to 15% all overall. There are 20,000 to 30,000 Agilus small robots. Market potential, we want to get 15%. That means midterm, we want to go to 3,000 Agilus. So 1,000 for 2013 as a launch, and then medium term, 3,000. And, you know, it was a potential, we also disclosed it, the potential of 50 to 60 additional million.
Then R&D, yeah, there are two effects responsible for the increased amount of expenses there. First is that we increased the team quite significantly, and the second is that we capitalized less of our R&D costs compared to last year. And for us it's clear that R&D is one of the core competences of KUKA, and is investing in the future, new products, innovation, leadership, so we are committed to further somehow invest in R&D.
So will it remain at the same level in 2014 and going forward, or do you even expect it to invest more in R&D?
It will not be less. Will be somehow flattish compared to current level. Then the shifts, yeah, we can reduce from 3 to 2 shifts. That means reduced personnel cost.
And to what extent? Could you give a kind of indication?
I mean, it's we have the investment and you have the depreciation of that, and you have to compare it with the lower HR cost. And the project has a return in less than 1 year.
Okay, thank you. Maybe one follow-up question. I think last year in the second quarter, your EBIT in robotics was somehow supported by positive FX effects. I think that was 3.3 million. What kind of EBIT would you have seen this year, excluding any kind of FX effects?
We did not really have significant FX effects this quarter.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We have no further questions.
Okay, thank you very much for your time. And yeah, hopefully you have kind of some holidays and enjoy it, and looking forward for your contact after your holidays. Thank you very much.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.